Good morning, everybody. Boreda, and if you weren't here at the beginning of the service, let me just extend the warm welcome to you again. As Dori's mentioned, my name is Joel. I'm privileged to be pastoring here at Ealing Aberystwyth. Before I speak, actually, one of the things I had for Christmas this year was a sort of daily calendar which gives me an interesting or a new word to learn about. And the words this week I felt might be relevant before I speak to you this morning. The first one is babblative. Has anybody ever heard the word babblative? Well, it means garrulous or wordy. So, you know, just prepare yourselves for that. And it kind of comes together quite nicely with the word for today, which is why I thought I'd bring them in. Today's word is sederunt. Does anybody know the word sederunt? Well, it means a prolonged sitting. So I just thought I'd better prepare you for, you know, for the next little while I'm speaking to you, babblatively and to be sederunt. We won't be that long. It's really okay. The talk I want to share this morning is called Lean In to the Lord in 2025. We've just come off the back of a reasonably long series that we did throughout the autumn, and we called it Bible-Shaped and Countercultural. We were looking at some of those subjects that perhaps we don't always talk about in church, or perhaps where being a Christian and believing the Bible is becoming more and more countercultural, and some of the challenges. And that culminated over the last previous 3 weeks in 3 weeks of question and answers, responding to some of those questions that people specifically wrote in. And we've covered some pretty heavy ground, I would describe it, in the last few weeks. And it's been pretty deep, pretty theologically sort of challenging. And this morning is much more devotional in nature. And some of why I want to share what I'm sharing comes from the fact that because that series ran over in throughout January, usually somewhere around the beginning of January, I'll have a sense of something that God might be want to say over the year that lies ahead, and something a bit more kind of directional in that sense. And perhaps this morning is coming from that place a little bit in terms of something I've just felt God speaking to me about, and perhaps speaking to us as a church. And every week I try and take the opportunity to get out into some space somewhere, not far out of space, but into some, usually into nature of some kind. We're very privileged in this area to be able to do that. And just spend some time with God. It doesn't always happen every week, but it's generally a practice I try and make a priority of. And at the beginning of January, as I went and had one of these days, I was sort of grappling with the Lord a little bit, and I was dealing with a little bit of frustration over something that I felt was going to happen, or something that I felt we were going to see change, and sort of the constant waiting for a phone call or waiting for some communication from elsewhere. And as I was doing that, I really felt this phrase, God placed it on my heart, lean in. It's not a phrase I would naturally choose to use. It's not a phrase. It's probably a phrase I've sort of tried to steer a little bit away from in a way when I've heard other people use it, because I didn't really quite understand it. But I felt God saying about leaning in. And as I grappled with that issue where I felt there was a bit of frustration, I felt God say, or my heart response to God, this: it is the Lord in whom our future and our hope lies. Lean into the Lord. So that's just a little excerpt from my personal reflections from earlier in January. And I had that that phrase, lean in my mind. And because of the way my mind works, I then felt I needed to find a Bible verse that says lean in, so that I can make sure that this is what the Lord is saying, or, you know, make sure this is totally accurate. And so that's how my brain works. So I'm studying Scripture and I'm trying to find, where's this verse which says lean in? Where's this phrase in Scripture? And I couldn't find this exact phrase. So in a little kind of bit of a way, I kind of let this phrase and this thought just go to the side of, well, there isn't a Bible verse for it, so I'm just going to leave it, being unable to find that identical quote. And then, towards the end of January, I had the opportunity to go on a little bit of a retreat. I sometimes go over to, there's a sort of converted chapel that's been made into a meeting space and a place where you can stay near Worcester, and I try and get there every so often. And as I was going to that couple of days away, I met with the chap who runs that centre, and he was having his own retreat halfway between here and there, so it worked out very well. We met, we had lunch, and whilst we were just sharing our heart with one another and saying what we felt, you know, what was going on in our lives, what we felt God was saying, he said to me, yeah, I really feel God is talking to me about leaning in, that this is a year to lean in. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you may have your way. I shall explore what this means, and I will spend the next bit of time trying to focus on what this is. And that can be a danger sometimes when we think, well, there isn't an exact Bible quote which says that. And we can kind of like, well, I'm not sure about that. But with a matter like this, we need to look at the whole of Scripture, and really throughout Scripture, we are encouraged to lean into God. That might become clearer when I explain what leaning in means. So just that was the kind of process that got me to this place, having had this as a personal word, and then somebody else has sort of shared the same word with me. It's brought me to that place of wanting to explore this more and get to grips. But maybe it's something that we'll get to grips with a little bit more as we go through the year. But there's a Bible verse which this brings me to, which is very familiar to many of us. But as familiar as it may be, and sometimes familiarity means we brush over a Bible verse or a thought or a concept, and we don't fully, you know, explore it and get to grips with it. I pray that the Holy Spirit will breathe fresh over this passage for us as a church this morning and through this year. And I'm going to ask you to read this out loud with me if you're comfortable to do so. Let's read this from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Your heart is the center of who you are, your will, your desire, your understanding is your mind. And we need to put both of those things in the direction of leaning in to God in order to be able to walk on the path and follow the way that he is wanting us to walk on. Amen? Lord, bless your word to us. Help us to understand it. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh over these words in our hearts and our minds, we pray. Amen. So, being unable to find a direct Bible quotation saying lean in, I went to the other place that we always go to find out information, and Google helped me understand what lean in actually means. And this is from the Oxford Languages description or explanation of what to lean in means. It means this: to commit completely or more fully to something, especially when faced with difficulty or resistance. I'm like, okay, Lord, I understand a little bit more of what you're saying. And the reality is that to commit more fully to Jesus, especially when faced with difficulty or resistance, is definitely a wise move. Let me encourage you to lean in and commit more fully to Jesus, especially when you're faced with any kind of difficulty, challenge, or trial, or resistance coming against you doing that. I encourage you, it is definitely a wise move to lean in to him. Drawing closer to God is always a good idea. We could mistake the idea of leaning in, and I think this may be where some of my sort of hesitancy with this phrase came from. We can think of lean in as a passive, oh, well, I'm just going to lean in and let what happens happen. You know, it sounds like a lazy thing to do, to lean in. But it's not. To lean in is not to be passive. It is a deliberate decision. It's a deliberate choice and an action to move towards something and to rely upon it. The writer of Proverbs, which is where that verse came from that we read, centers around this theme of the pursuit of wisdom. Proverbs is about us understanding what wisdom is, what it means to live a godly way and to pursue that, which is wisdom. And in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman and in a poetic way, so that it's helping us to understand what it is to go after, as it describes her. She, wisdom is described as she. In Proverbs 3 and verse 18, it says this: "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed." And you understand that to take hold of something is not a passive thing. It's not to just let something happen. You take hold of that which you want to grasp, that which you want to take possession of, that which you want to hold on to. And if it's something that's precious to you, if it's something that's important to you, you hold on tight. And you want to take hold of wisdom and know what it is to walk in God's ways and walk in God's will. And although in this book, wisdom is personified as a woman, wisdom is ultimately personified and given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment and the revelation of all wisdom. And so I want to just urge you with all my heart. I said this morning is more devotional in nature. I want to urge you to take hold of the Lord, to grasp hold of the Lord and to hold fast. Don't let go. Usually, to trust in the Lord is not typically to just stand back, throw up your hands and say, "You do it all, it's nothing to do with me." Sometimes that's the instruction that God will give you. Perhaps that's exactly what you need to do in a certain situation, because God's saying, "You got to stand back and let me be God. Stop trying to be God in this situation." Sometimes that is the instruction that He will give you. But usually, that is your action in that scenario. Because when God gives us an instruction, we have the opportunity to be obedient. Throughout Scripture, we see how the manifestation of the power of God, i.e. God does something, it is usually preceded by an act of obedience. So somebody does something that God has told them to do, and that opens the gateway for God to reveal His power. Am I making sense to anybody this morning? So usually, it's not just, "Okay, well, forget that. I don't care anymore. I'm not doing anything." It might be that God tells you to stand back. But usually an action of some kind, God is looking for a response of our hearts in order for His power to be at work. We could choose any number of scriptural examples of this. I've just got a few here. Noah was obedient to the Lord when he built the ark in the face of all those who were mocking him. So, "What on earth are you doing? Why are you building a huge boat in the middle of land?" And of course, he took that, and in the face of that, he held fast. He leant into what God had revealed to him. He leaned into the Lord and said, "I'm going to trust in what the Lord has said. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I am going to build this boat." And of course, we know how the rest of the story unfolds. Abraham, who had been given this child of promise, Isaac was the child of promise. God had promised this son to him, and He had promised him not just this son, but that the descendants would fill the earth and that he would be a blessing to the whole earth. And yet, despite that, when God calls him in this mysterious story to take him up a mountain and be ready and willing to offer him as a sacrifice, Abraham obediently does so. And then we see in that moment, God wonderfully provides. And the sacrifice doesn't have to take place with Isaac on there, but with a ram that had been provided by the Lord. But he was obedient to what the Lord had said, even though it didn't make sense, it didn't feel right, it didn't feel good. He was willing to take this teenage son of his who had been promised to him and offer him as a sacrifice. Moses obediently lifted the staff, and Ed always mentioned, when perhaps you're in a situation in your life right now where it's like the sea is in front of you, I can't go forward, the Egyptians, they are coming pretty fast behind me, I can't turn back, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to turn. All I can encourage you to do is get Lean into God and hear what he is saying to you. And with Moses, the opportunity, raise your staff. And we know the story, the sea opened up in front of them and they were able to be delivered through dry land. God revealed his power. Hannah obediently dedicated her son, Samuel, this son that she'd longed for and that she loved. But she had said, Lord, I will give this child to you if you'll grant him to me. And so she took Samuel and she gave him, and Samuel grew up in the temple. Mary obediently took the task that was given to her by the angel. She said, be it as you have said. And she had the privilege and the opportunity to bear Jesus Christ. He was born of her, and then she raised him as her child. And we know the ultimate manifestation of the goodness of God was revealed to earth through Mary's obedience. And then Jesus himself was obedient even to death upon a cross. The Garden of Gethsemane, he cries out and he says, God, yet not my will, but yours be done. Obedient even to death upon a cross. And that obedience has won for you and me salvation, and the opportunity to know and live in the presence and the goodness and the love and the mercy of God from now and into eternity because of his obedience to go through that for us. So let's lean towards obedience. In order to be obedient, we need to be seeking to hear what God is saying and know what he wants to reveal to us. And in order to do that, we need to get closer to the Lord. Jesus gives us an illustration in John 15, verses 9. Well, throughout John 15, he talks about this picture of the vine and the branches, how God is the vine and we are the branches. We can't do anything of eternal value if we are not joined to him and letting the life flow through us from him. And in John 15, 9 and 10, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And I sense and believe that this call to lean in 2025, and of course, it's always a good thing to lean into God. It's always a good thing to draw near to him. It's always a good thing to get closer to God. That's obvious. But I wonder if there's a situation that you are facing or I am facing or that some of how this year is going to unfold in 2025, where there's a specific prompting and calling on us to lean into God despite whatever comes, whatever opposition, resistance, whatever challenges come, to lean in and to hold fast to him. But I believe it's a call to reliance and trust as well as to a place of intimacy with the Lord. When I wrote those notes on that first week in January, when I just spent some time with the Lord, three phrases came off the back of this idea of lean in, and just giving you insight into my notes. Lean in to hear his voice. Lean in to breathe his air, the same air that he's breathing. And lean in to see his view. And I'm going to just talk about each of those a little bit more. Wonderful promise in James 4 and verse 8. And now, the book of James is not really a light-hearted devotional. It's quite pithy. It's quite challenging. It's not the easiest of the New Testament letters to understand the easiest to just put into action. But in amongst that, James gives us this promise that the Lord has given us, which is come near to God and he will come near to you. James's phrase comes amongst instructions that he's giving us. He's telling us to be humble. He's telling us to resist the devil. He's telling us to submit our lives to God. Really, some of it is about how we interact with others, about not being arrogant, and not being self-seeking, not arguing and being overbearing towards others. And so he's telling us to be humble and to resist the devil and submit our lives to God. And in a world that wants to take us away from the Lord and all that he has for us, this is a call to a Bible-shaped life that we've been talking about. This is a call to being, allowing the words of Scripture to help us and shape us and make us who God wants us to be. But his promise here, in amongst all of that, is that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Some take this and other promises to suggest this idea that you can be as near to God as you choose to be. And I do believe that to be the truth, even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when our emotions are not understanding it. And there are times for most of us when our emotions are engaged and we can feel and understand. But the reality is, as we go through life, we can't pretend that there are never times when you're doing all that you can and God still feels distant. That is a real scenario and a real situation. But I do believe that we can be as near to him as we choose. The Psalms are full of examples of people crying out to God in times of need or in times of fear, and God answering and coming near. And please forgive me for not finishing the bottom paragraph there with the quotations that I had intended to put in there. But the promise is this: if we seek, we shall find. If we call on him, he will answer. And from Isaiah 40, as we began singing this morning, if we wait on him, we shall renew our strength. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. If we wait on the Lord, we shall renew our strength. Thinking about this idea of intimacy and this idea of leaning in, my mind goes to the Passover and the account from the Gospel of John of the Last Supper that Jesus was sharing with his disciples. And what's happening in this scenario, which is not entirely relevant to what I want to talk about, is Jesus has just explained that one of the disciples is going to betray him. And there's obviously the disciples are like, it's not going to be me, you know, and they're trying to get to the bottom of what is God saying? What is Jesus saying here in this scenario? John, this is always makes me smile, and John self-describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, and I just want to say that Jesus loved all of his disciples before we go any further, and he loves you as much as he loved John, but I think there's something helpful in there in terms of what John is trying to explain and reveal to us. But one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining, and lots of the translations, the NIV doesn't, but lots of the translations will have there literally the translation from the Greek there, which is on his bosom, next to him. And then it goes on. Simon Peter motioned to the disciple and said, hey, you ask him. You ask him what he means by one of those who's going to betray him. And we get this picture from John. It says, leaning back against Jesus, he asked him. Now, this seems a bit of a weird picture to us because we think of sitting around the table, you know, and we've got, you know, we go to a nice Last Supper. We probably have our serviette hanging down from our collar and our silver service, knives and forks and everything, and everything's laid out in front of the table and we're sitting next to each other nice and neatly and tidily. But that is not quite how this scenario was being outworked. So what would have happened in their setting, in their context? The tables would most likely have been sort of three sides of a square, three, so table there, table there, table there. And they would have had set places in terms of who they were in the group as to where they would have been sat. And Jesus perhaps sat over this side, most likely, according to some of the illustrations that I've looked at. And what would have happened is the tables were down here. They weren't there like we're used to sitting at lap level. They were closer to the floor. And they would literally lie on the left arm and eat with the right arm. The left arm is not for eating. The right hand was for eating, not the left hand. And so they'd rest on their left arm, and they would eat with their right arm, and their feet would be out behind them, away from the table, and where the servants were able to wash their feet and keep the feet away from the food. So he would literally have been lying down. And so what John is telling us is that John is here. John is sat to the, or lying to the right of Jesus, and they're in that situation, and John is leaning into Jesus to talk to him. And I believe we're all invited to sit with Jesus. We're all invited to lean in and to ask him the questions and to draw near to him and to find out what it means. And the Greek word there, kolpos, for the bosom or the leaning into the bosom is properly the upper part of the chest where a garment naturally folded to form a pocket called the bosom, the position synonymous with intimacy and union. And I believe God wants to invite you to a place of intimacy and union with him in 2025. It's always the invitation that he wants, but I think there's something about what he's saying this year about drawing near to him in that way. Now, these three things which I felt about leaning in, I'm just going to finish by illustrating those a little bit further. I don't have the best memory, and some of my childhood memories are a little bit sketchy, but one thing I have a really clear memory of as a child is this. My dad sleeping on the sofa, that's not what the memory is, but I do remember a fair bit of that. Sorry, Dad, if you ever tune in to see this. But my dad sleeping on the sofa and me as a small child climbing up onto his chest, resting my ear on his chest and hearing his heartbeat and hearing him breathe in and out. Got real clear memory of this. And what I used to do, I used to synchronize my breathing with his breathing. And I sort of learnt to, even though he had bigger lungs than me and was older and probably had longer breaths, maybe that's why I can hold my breath underwater for so long. Some of my kids, like, you know, if we're ever on holiday and there's a swimming pool, I always win the who can hold the water under just, you know, by a long way. Maybe this is where I learnt it. Anyway, synchronizing. And so I learned to sort of synchronize my breath with my dad as I rested my head on his chest. And I believe that the closer we draw to God and the nearer we get to him, the more in sync we will become with his ways and with his will. The more we will learn what the heart of God is, the more we will breathe in his presence and walk in a way that he calls us to. The second is about leaning in to hear his voice. And I think of this one in terms of being drawn aside. Lean in so that I can tell you something. Sometimes you might find yourself in a scenario where there's something you want to say to a friend or to a loved one, and it's not necessarily something for everybody else to hear. And we say it's rude to whisper, but we all know there are certain things that are not for everybody to hear. And so I get this picture of, and this is kind of what's happening with John and Jesus in that situation. John's like, will you just tell me who it is that's going to betray you? He's leaning in to the chest of Jesus. And I believe God wants us to just draw near so that he can speak. And I think he's got individual things to say to you. I think there's things that God wants to say to just you. I encourage you to lean in, draw near, hear what God would say to you. Because I believe as we abide in him and draw near to him and hear his voice, we will begin to sound more and more like him. We will reflect the heart and the nature of God to our communities, to our families, and to the world around us. And the final illustration is this one. Leaning in to see what he sees. Now, if you are with somebody, they're over there and you're over here, and they're like, oh, look at that. And you look up and you're like, yeah, no idea what. And they say, look at that. And you've got still no idea what they're talking about. They say, come here, look. And the only way for you to be able to see what that person is seeing is to get your head right up to where their head is. And then they point their hand, oh, I can see what you're seeing now. And I wonder if God wants to say, come here. Look, let me show you. Let me illustrate how I see that situation. And you're looking at a situation, you're going, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're saying. And he says, come here, lean in. Let me show you how I see that thing. So I believe God is inviting us to lean in. To lean in, to breathe his breath, to get in sync with him. To lean in, to hear his voice and his whisper and to have things revealed to us. And to lean in so that he can show us what it is that he sees. So that we can understand things from his perspective. When we draw near to him, we'll see things from the perspective he is seeing those things from. So that's what I believe Lord is placing on our hearts. 2025, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Let him lead you. Let him show you. Let him speak to you. Let that be a goal and a desire for us this year. If you're happy to, let's just close our eyes and let me just ask a few questions of us to reflect upon as we come to the end of our time before we sing one last song to finish. First question I want to ask you, just to ponder in your own heart, what does it look like for you to lean in to the Lord at this moment in your life? Whatever is going on in your world today, what does it look like for you to lean into him? What does it require? The second question I want you to just ponder is this. Are there specific areas where you know you need to trust the Lord and lean not on your own understanding and acknowledge him so that you can pursue his pathway for you? If there's something specific that you know you need to trust him in, just bring that before him now. Offer it to him. And finally, just as we seek to not be just those who hear the word, but who put it into practice, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? 2025, what are you going to do in order to draw near to the Lord and to make sure you're abiding in him, hearing him, leaning into him? What are you going to do? What changes from today?